The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Hour two of the most interactive sports talk show in Houston on this Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday, May 12th. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Texans don't have a primetime game this year, and we're both like, it's probably for the best. I know some people are upset about it. We choose not to be. Keep it all in your backyard. Until you look jacked, don't go out to the pool.
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't upset about it when I first saw it, but now that I see who has primetime games, I'm a little... Titans have two?
Titans having two is ridiculous. Chargers having six is ridiculous. There are some teams that have more that shouldn't.
The Bucks? Come on.
The Commanders have one. The Titans have two. The Saints have three. The Bears have four. The Packers have five. The Raiders have five. There you go. They all probably have too many. Alas. Don't care. That's where we're at. If you have a thought on it, though, welcome all show long. I just don't want to make this whole show about NFL schedule talk. Christ on a cross. Okay, I guess we're going to... As soon as I bring it up, it's like the bleeping bat signal. Our buddy Pena on the north side. Pena, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Sorry, Paul. I was going to call earlier, but...
You're
no
good,
work.
Pena. What's up?
So I was thinking... You know, the schedule doesn't look too bad, but it just also, we suck also. So, but I'm giving us maybe six wins, maybe more six than seven, but if I had to bet my money, I'd go with six. And so I'm in the warehouse right now, and we're having a debate with my coworkers, and I want to settle this debate, and they're going to listen to you after I hang up.
Oh.
Can you answer the question?
I can.
All right. For 20 bands, can you take on 10 third graders, and that'll be it. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Could I take on 10 third graders? What was the first thing that he said?
For 20 bands, $20,000.
Yes. Just punt them all. Boom. Over.
Yeah.
I have legs.
Third graders, like, what, seven?
I have the high ground. Yeah. It's going to be pretty easy.
10. It depends if they're like one at a time or if they kind of swarm you.
Do they have weapons? You know, you are right in that it's not if they were 5 or 6 years old.
Boom. Boom.
Oh, that's over.
Boom. Yeah.
That's over. You know, Uncle Paul, like, he's pretty good at tossing kids in the pool. That is something that, like, I would just throw everybody over.
Yeah. I mean, you toss a couple.
Be like cartoonish. I'd be like the Hulk. It would be impressive.
Pick them up by their shirt and just toss them. And then, like, once you – because you need to kind of clear it out around you so you're not taking hits on all angles.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just – yeah, then you just start kicking them. Like, you just – they're right by your knee. You just knee them in the face.
Yeah, pretty simple.
Take that.
Watch Ong Bak. Ong Bak, knees, elbows, that's the key to fighting. That's the key. So there you go, Pena. That's your answer. E315, Red's kid is in third grade. Remember Red, the guy on the wheelhouse who called in – to our show to say the same joke that he said on the wheelhouse and then said he was going to show up at the draft party with his kid. And I actually wanted to meet them. And he was going to explain how his kid's better at sports radio than me and or his third grader was going to try to beat me up. That didn't happen. I'm a bit disappointed it didn't happen. I actually wanted to meet him and I would have been nice had we met. But alas, it did not happen. He did not show up. Next time, there's always next time. What else do we have here in the most interactive sports talk show in Houston? I do want to talk about how badly the Suns played yesterday. I had the game on, and I was busy cleaning up the kitchen, and then I sat down on the couch, and I was looking at my phone. I got lost in Instagram reels, and I looked up, and all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a second. The Suns are down 30? What the hell is going on? It's halftime? This game was bloody body bag kind of game by the Suns, who have now in back-to-back years been absolutely decimated in elimination games. Last year, Game 7 against the Dallas Mavericks. This year, Game 6 against the Denver Nuggets. I mean, you knew it was over at halftime. After the game, Kevin Durant said he was embarrassed.
Yeah, it sucked. It was a bad feeling. It was embarrassing. They came out and hit us in the mouth. We couldn't recover. You know, you got to get them credit for being a disciplined team.
Monty Williams, the head coach of the Suns, said that after the poor first quarter, the team was deflated.
81 points in the first half was deflating to just see them score like that and, you know, running down the floor, getting easy buckets. That falls on my shoulders, not having us ready to play at the highest level in the biggest game of the year, bottom line. And to your point, like that's just not who we are and who we've been.
Oh, you shouldn't have said the last part. It's not who we are. It's not who we've been. Monty, this happened a year ago, exactly the same way. And I get it. Chris Paul was out and DeAndre Ayton was out. But do you think DeAndre Ayton was going to make things better in that game, especially with the way that things went last year at the end of the year against the Mavericks? No. Had me wondering about the worst no-shows in Houston sports history. Someone brought up the Oilers up 35-3 in the playoffs against the Bills. But they did show up in the first half. At least they showed up in the first. They just couldn't close the deal, obviously, in the second. They showed up for part of the game. A couple of texts, one from the 832. When the Rockets got beat by 40 in the playoffs against the Mavericks in a Game 7, I believe the Rockets had T-Mac and Yao. Could have been the Steve Francis Yao era. Well, we need a little bit more specifics here, but we can look up that.
They did play a 7-game. I want to say in 2005. I'll look it up. I had the 2017 against the Spurs. Rockets against the Spurs. In my head, they're down like 40 at halftime. They're actually only down 19 at halftime.
Still.
No, that's still very bad. Also, James Harden, let me pull up his stats.
What a bad series that was for him.
2-for-11 from the field. 10 points.
Oh, my God.
6 turnovers, 7 assists, and 6 fouls.
That was...
I think a key to no-showing is also fouling out. All he did was foul, guys. And
Jonathan Simmons went crazy. He got a contract out of that series.
He scored 18 points.
Yeah, he was great.
Twice as much as James Harden
did. Oh, boy. God, that was...
In a home game 6, no Tony Parker.
Yeah, you're right.
No Kawhi Leonard.
You're right.
The starting lineup for the Spurs that game was LaMarcus Aldridge, who killed him. Jonathan Simmons, Danny Green, Pau Gasol, Patty Mills.
Pau Gasol was on that team? Interesting.
Pau Gasol in 2017.
Yeah, that one was that. I remember that one vividly. I remember watching that at a bar, and everyone got so checked out that no one actually was watching the game with a lot of time left. I'm guessing it was around halftime. Everyone's like, whatever.
In the start of the third quarter, that's when the Rockets officially packed it in.
I think so. Couple of texters said the Astros lost in Game 6 of the World Series against the Braves. Yep, that's a pretty good one. Where they pack it in. I found a couple of, I think, incredible editions of packing it in the world of sports. Some of them are high school, but December 8th of 1940, the Bears beat the Redskins 73-0. This is a more recent one, and Texas A&M Aggies, maybe you want some earmuffs. 20 years ago, number 1 Oklahoma beat Texas A&M 77-0. It was 77-0 with 1:58 to go in the third. And Bob Stoops said, we're not going to score the rest of the game. That is an incredible loss. And it did happen within recent history.
I looked up the Dallas Mavericks Rockets Game 7.
What was the final score?
It was 116-76. And that's 116, 2005 points. That is like 200 in today's NBA.
That is some bad defense.
Yao Ming scored 33. Tracy McGrady scored 27.
Okay. They padded the stats.
No other Rocket scored more than 7 points.
So they scored 77, and it was, 27 plus 33. Holy crap. You're right. 7 points from the rest of the team?
David Wesley had 7, Scott Padgett had 3, John Barry had 2, and Mike James had 4. That was the Rockets scoring that night.
Holy crap. 1916, Georgia Tech beat Cumberland 222-0. That's fun. In 2013, here in Texas, Aledo High School beat Western Hills 91-0, and a parent for Western Hills filed a complaint of bullying. Listen, I've been on the wrong side of some high school football blowouts, specifically whenever we used to play Fort Meade. Gladesdale Christian. Jeez. They used their whole like school budget on the fireworks going into the stadium. We're like, ha-ha, these guys are poor. And then they killed us. So, classism was overcome on that day. Here's a bad one. Slovakia women's hockey beat Bulgarian women's hockey in 2008 by a final score of, get this, 82-0 in hockey. That seems impossible. Morningside High School beat South Torrance High School 102-24 in 1990. This is a high school women's basketball game. Can you guess how many points Lisa Leslie had in the first half of this game, where her team scored 102 points?
Can you have 40?
She had 101 of 102 points in the first half. 14. By the way, South Torrance refused to play in the second half.
I would have too. They played an entire game. They scored an entire game's worth of points. So this thing's over.
By the way, Lisa Leslie had 101 points in that first half, and the record all-time Cheryl Miller was 105. Imagine you're that close, and they won't even play the second half. I think that's actually some BS by South Torrance. Finish the game. Hey, if Lisa Leslie can score 101 points and a half, you could come back. It could happen. Super Bowl 48. Seahawks 43, the Broncos 8, 49ers 55, Broncos 10 in Super Bowl 24, Super Bowl 20, Bears 46, Patriots 10, some other bad ones. The Texans have had some pretty bad recent playoff performances where they didn't show up. I think it was 2015 where they played the Chiefs. It was Brian Hoyer. Good God.
Yeah, the Brian Hoyer one.
Didn't they do something stupid with like J.J. Watt and the Wildcat on the 1 yard line the first series of the game, and it just like absolutely backfired spectacularly?
Probably.
Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, it does seem very Texans. We were like, probably. We block it out from our memory. Who cares? Well, I mean, you had 2018. I remember the Texans played the Colts and they lost 21-7, and Watson looked like absolute dog bleep.
I was at that game.
You were there.
Yeah, boots on the ground. Bad in person. The final score is the most misleading final score in football history. I think it's 21-14 was the final score.
I think it was 21-7. I don't think they had the second.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
But whatever the case.
It was 21-0 for 3.5 quarters.
Two biggest no-shows in Houston from the 713. Bagwell and Biggio in the playoffs every year. Damn. Damn, that's aggressive.
Yeah, but be nice about the shadow GM of the Houston Astros. That man, you're going to get on the man that gave us Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero.
People forget that they signed Michael Brantley, too.
And Michael Brantley. Like,
yeah,
he's done so much for this organization. We're really still holding the playoff failures over his head.
I really think we should, honestly. I think we should hold him against him maybe more now.
Definitely.
Should he be taken out of the Hall of Fame if this continues the way it's going? I'm asking the question.
We'll give him. Let's see how if the Astros don't make the ALCS for the first time in 6 years, you might have a point.
Okay,
have a point.
Okay. Someone texted in. Didn't Calvin Murphy's friend at Jack Yates? This is such a. Can we get like more specifics? Didn't Calvin Murphy's homie at Jack Yates score like a gagillion points against another squad, which caused an uproar in this soft everyone gets a trophy society? Or am I just bitter? You got to give me more specifics.
Wait, Calvin Murphy's friend?
Calvin Murphy's homie.
Well, was that the Calvin Murphy played in the 70s? He probably played high school ball in the 60s.
This is why I'm lost. We need some more specifics.
He probably played a school that wasn't integrated. Like, what are we talking about?
I don't know. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Many people ask if I love sports. Do basketball players love basketball? Some would argue no, especially after what you saw from the Phoenix Suns last night. Paul Galacho, don't go anywhere.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Having some Friday fun here. We're talking about all-time no-shows in sports, specifically Houston sports. Hand up. I got to be more selective with the texts. I got to do better than, hey, my friend's friend who knew Calvin Murphy, who might have gone to that one school named Yates. Hey, he scored a gagillion points, I think? Question mark? That's on me for reading it. Sometimes the most interactive sports talk show in Houston gets a little bit too interactive. Like whenever we've talked about the NFL schedule, which whenever I do, someone calls in immediately. The Texans have zero primetime games. It's fine. We don't want anyone to see us. We're still working on our bod. The glow up, the transformation, it's going to take some time. Sean?
You mentioned the Texans schedule, so I'm waiting for a phone call to come in.
I know, right? It's just going to come immediately, somehow, some way. We're not trying to make this a thing. It's weird. The NFL schedule,
you know what,
creates buzz in a way that we can't understand, but it clearly does.
The Houston Texans are back. That's what this tells me. The Houston Texans are back.
They are relevant locally.
We had three people call to want to talk about them.
They did.
Well, one of them wanted to talk mostly about the Ravens. But
yes.
Two and a half calls about the Texans.
The video that they released the schedule with was a disorganized mess and was trying to pander to the, hey, we're H-Town kind of culture. Because there's a block party at a somewhere it looked like in downtown underneath, I think, that the highway by the Minute Maid Park. And I'm like, where did they force all the homeless to go to film that with all those cars on slabs swanging and banging? See, I sound like I'm from Houston. The Texans appear like they're from Houston for a change, which they haven't for the first 20 years of their
history. Did Cal McNair show off that he knows what H-Town is now?
He didn't. He did not throw up the H either.
Oh.
Did not show up with a styrofoam cup full of purple drink either.
But he learned about it in January 2023. He's not going to still show it off.
It is really funny. It seems like he just realized, oh, we're in Houston. Maybe I should act more Houston.
That's what they mean by that.
Interesting. But we were talking about some no-shows in Houston sports history. The game against the Chiefs, the play in particular, someone remembers this text via text vividly. The score was 13-0 Kansas City. J.J. Watt takes the direct snap with 4:15 till halftime from the 2-yard line and lost 3 yards. Oh, God. It was the Watt cat, too. I thought they handed it off to him. It's even worse. It's even worse when you look at it from that perspective.
To be fair, though, it was either that or it's putting the ball in Brian Hoyer's hands. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Who was even the running back that year? was it no Foster at Ari?
No, I think it was... No, it wasn't Lamar Miller. I think Arian Foster tore his Achilles that season against the Dolphins. That was the game that Ryan Mallett, I think, didn't show up for because he, once again, missed his alarm clock.
All-time great no-show performance, Ryan Mallett.
Ryan Mallett, multiple times for the Houston Texans. I empathize with Ryan Mallett. It's hard to beat your alarm clock from time to time.
Yeah. I
actually empathize with him there.
We've all been
a quarterback, so like no excuses, but I empathize with Ryan Mallett in that spot.
Alfred Ballou was the running back in that
game. Oh, God, yeah.
Wow, 17 carries, 99 yards.
So he actually, he showed up. The rest of the Texans did not. Did they score a point in that game? Was it 28-0?
Brian Hoyer scored. Yeah, it was 30-0. Brian Hoyer threw 4 interceptions.
Oh, man. I remember going into Hard Knocks that year. Like Bill O'Brien's got this big pump-up speech. They all think that since we don't have a quarterback, we're going to be an absolute disaster. And they weren't. They went 9-7 and made the playoffs. But, God.
AFC like, champ. AFC South champs.
Going back and forth between Brian Mallett. I almost confused the two. Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett. That was rough. A text from the 713. Houston no-show. Mitchell Wiggins and Lewis Lloyd not showing up for the NBA Finals after being thrown off the team for cocaine. You know what? That might be number one. That might be number one.
Didn't James Worthy also... Or no. Yeah, it was... Yeah, it might have been James Worthy got caught soliciting during a playoff game.
Maybe.
It might have been a regular season game. James Worthy got in trouble in the city of Houston.
Yes, he did.
And no-showed.
He did. James Harden in multiple playoff performances brings up another texter. Yeah. All right. What else do we have here? Oh.
Any more high school games that they're no-shows?
You took issue with me bringing up high school sports.
Because some of them aren't no-shows. They're just the one team has no chance at competing.
I think it's a no-show. They gave up 102 points in one half. 100 of them were by one player. But is Lisa Leslie the greatest women's basketball player of all time?
Yes.
Is she the all-time greatest?
Yes.
I honestly don't know, but she's better than Diana Taurasi?
Maybe. I mean, are we really going to do
a joke debate?
We're going to
dive into this now. Well, this is, you brought it up. You brought it up. I'll dive down that rabbit hole and just like, hey, how many women's basketball players can you name?
Also, Lisa Leslie really grew the game. So you have to think about when she was in high school, how small the game was. She was playing because people that didn't want to be there.
It's pretty crazy. She had 101 points in one half.
It's ridiculous.
You should be put on blast the rest of your life if you were on that other team. I'm sorry. Even if you were overmatched. It's 101 points in one half and you don't even show up for the second. If you'd shown up for the second, I think this would be noteworthy.
You think
they would have run up the score? I think they would have let Lisa get her like 107 and then they would have stopped trying to score.
Literally no showing in the second half. That's bad. That's bad. You got to finish.
They literally didn't show up.
The worst part's already over. Like,
yeah.
You can do like running clock, whatever. Yeah.
Text in, Paul Houston no-show. Pauly G phoning it in on every holiday show. Well, today's not a holiday. And we're phoning it in. So how about that? We're no-show. We just no-show when we want. Take that. All right. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. One of my least favorite sports analysts did an all-time dum-dum. He tried to apologize for it. And do basketball players love basketball? We've also got some thoughts on the Houston Texans uniform number reveal for all of their rookie players. And I guess if you want to weigh in on the Texans schedule release, you can. Because for whatever reason, there's enough people passionate about it that we keep on having to talk about it. Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We were talking about big no-shows in Houston sports history, and it's turned into a bit of high school bullying. Someone texted in, Yates, another example of Yates doing it, 89-0 against Reagan High School. Sean was bringing up a point to me that Yates basketball, I guess, used to absolutely clobber everybody, and they would run full court press all game long, which would make things exponentially worse for the majority of basketball teams played by high schoolers who generally do not have the greatest ball handling.
That's why high school sports, like, I don't put them in the same category as this because, like, there'll just be games where one team has guys that are or girls that are just out there just to get some exercise, letter in something, whatever they want, because their dad forces them to play, whatever it is. And then you have the other team that has like future college athletes on them, and then they play each other, and it's like when Alabama plays UL Monroe, but times 10.
That's why you'll never be, Sean, a great father. That's why that mentality right there. That mentality right there. I could even do it with a straight face. Because you know,
oh, that's why. Thanks.
You know why?
I'm surprised you didn't say no offense. Don't take this personally. But that's why you'll never be a grandpa.
If you don't lock your kid up in a broom closet after they lose to Yates, then you fail
like 95. Yeah, because they have four guys that are going to play for Duke.
Yeah, you failed as a father. If you don't handcuff your teenager after losing 89-0 to a radiator in a crawl space, like, what were you doing?
Just because we bought our house like two blocks away from being in going to the right high school.
Should have bought it in the right high school. You know what? You could always move. You can always move. That's probably the hardest I've ever laughed doing this show. Anyway, if you want to keep those no-shows coming, 713-780-3776. Not Santa tweeted in, alarm clocks cost Ryan Mallett his job and Paul his life in Brad Kellner's eyes. That is true. That is true. I am a persona non grata on the wheelhouse after I stiffed him this week. My bad. Look, in life, I think we all get to a point where we maybe don't love our job. And I think after watching the Phoenix Suns no-show against the Denver Nuggets yesterday in a closeout game, you can kind of empathize. Kind of. But these guys are paid millions of dollars, and I don't know. Try a little bit. Like, they look dead from the end of the first quarter on. And it reminds me of a couple of things that we've seen over the last couple of weeks. Patrick Beverley does a podcast with Barstool Sports, and there's a Barstool guy by the name of Roan, who's based in Philadelphia, who co-hosts it with him. And he asked Beverley about something that he had said a couple of weeks ago. And it has me thinking about how many players love playing basketball. Here's Patrick Beverley.
What percentage of NBA players don't really love?
50. And I was like being nice.
Really?
Yeah.
People want to hear more about that.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
How can you tell when someone doesn't love basketball?
Preparation.
What parts of preparation?
Anything. You like a girl? You think you like a girl? What do you do for her? You go send her roses. That's being prepared. You go buy her nice things. That's part of preparation. You go wash your car. She might even have a car. You go wash your shit, though, when you go pick her up. That's part of preparation. You done called the restaurant already. What you want to eat? That's part of preparation. You got to go to the bank. That's preparation.
That's fun. Talking about preparation for a date, making reservations, buying flowers. I love how we just turned it into like, hey, I could tell someone doesn't love basketball if they aren't prepared and they don't do all the necessary things to prepare. And he went on further to say that a lot of the best players in the NBA don't seem to love basketball. But I kind of get it. Imagine you're this super tall person and you're super skilled at something that only a few people can do. And you are expected to do this. And obviously, if you want to make money, this is what you got to do.
Did you see the DeAndre? This actually is funny. I didn't think about it until you mentioned tall guys. I never hold it against any like 7 foot one guy that's like, this is the way I make millions of dollars is by playing basketball. Any other walk of life, I'm a freak show. My life is hard. This, my life is easy. I'll just play basketball for a while. DeAndre Ayton, and this quote has resurfaced recently after his performance against the Denver Nuggets with the Phoenix Suns. He was asked, I think this was at either like before the draft or during, like after the draft, he got drafted. What success looks like for him in his NBA career. And he said, getting to the second contract.
He's right.
He's freaking right. Yeah.
He's right.
He's going to make $150 million playing basketball.
It's interesting because we all have different perspectives on it. We're fans. We watch these games and we get pissed off when someone's getting paid and they don't even work hard. And I'm not trying to say like, this is okay. I'm not. These contracts get bigger and bigger and it gets more and more frustrating to sit back and observe it. But I think all of us, in some way, shape, or form, have elements of our job that we don't like. And there might be a job that we have that pays bank, and you might still hate it. But you're like, well, what am I going to do otherwise? Not make bank?
Especially, like, among sports fans. It's like, the least popular thing that you could do is to not like playing sports. Because every sports fan, by definition, loves sports.
And wishes they could play
them. And so we're like, whoa, why don't you love this thing I love? If I was 7 feet tall, I would, whatever. But it's like, but imagine like something you don't care about.
Yeah.
And you're just naturally gifted at whatever. And
what if I was a great accountant?
Yeah. But accountants made $100 million. Like,
that too.
Like, and you hate math. You hate all that. You hate doing spreadsheets. But you're just naturally gifted at it. Yeah. And you're going to change your family's life forever if you're good. Like, if you just do it.
What if I was a great Ponzi schemer, but I didn't like doing it? I just liked making money. Like, what if I was just so good at convincing people to get pyramids?
This is a what-if scenario.
It's a what-if scenario.
Okay.
I don't think I'm good enough to – I'm smart enough to get people in a Ponzi scheme or a cult. I don't think I'm that good.
Maybe a cult. You could be the, like, hey, how you doing guy, you know? You have the charisma.
If you're a cult, you're not getting paid, though, you know? Like,
no. People at the top are.
There's no cult – well, I don't think there's any cult leader or cult member who's like, oh, I'm just doing this for a paycheck. You know,
cult leaders, yes.
I don't think so. I don't think they're doing it for a paycheck.
I think there's two. I think
they're legitimately crazy. That's how they get everybody on page.
I think there's true believers, and then there's people that just are narcissists.
Okay.
And they get off on, I'm God. Yeah, I'm the one that talks to God. So we're talking to me. You're talking to God.
Tracy McGrady, while we're talking about athletes who don't like their sports, Tracy McGrady said he used to hate basketball. He was more of a baseball guy back in the day.
I didn't really start playing basketball until I was probably 10, 11 years old. I hated basketball. Mm. I was bullied into playing basketball because, like I said, baseball was my first sport and my first love.
Yeah.
And football. I used to go to the playground with my cousins, friends who were older than me, and I used to just watch, right? Yeah. Tag along. And it got to a point where they hated me going because they always wanted me to play. So it was one day I went, they needed an extra guy, I didn't want to play. And my cousins, you know, bullied me, called me all kind of names, smacked me upside my head. I started playing basketball, actually did well, and I liked it. And from that point, I just used to go every single time these guys go, and I started loving the game.
Clearly, Tracy McGrady is one of the guys that Patrick Beverly was talking about at one point. Now, maybe McGrady did actually love it while he was here with the Houston Rockets. I would imagine he did come to love it eventually. But it is interesting to note, too, that some of these guys, like, this wasn't even their favorite sport. They're just tall. Imagine if Hakeem Olajuwon had stuck with soccer instead of playing basketball, because he, of course, played soccer famously growing up.
I can also imagine, because this is also Patrick Beverly's opinion that 50%, that half the league does.
Probably an exaggeration.
Yes. Also, but I can also understand why Patrick Beverly looks at guys that are more, that are just like more naturally talented, and they don't love basketball the same way that Patrick Beverly loves basketball.
That is also true.
Patrick Beverly is also kind of a psycho when it comes to this. So even if you're just like a normal, normally adjusted person with how much work you're going to willing to put in and stuff, I can see why Patrick Beverly views that as, you don't love it.
He loves the sport, and he loves the work that's involved with it, I think. And I don't think everybody loves the work. In fact, I think most people hate the work. Like, we're all doing this just to make money at the end of the day. Anyway, look at this philosophical life talk. In a way to avoid talking about the Texans' schedule, this is what we resorted to. And I think it's been a pretty fun show thus far.
Paul, what percentage of sports radio talk show hosts do you think don't enjoy, don't love what they do?
No comments.
Oh, come on.
No,
you can't compete with the Patrick Beverly podcast if you're going to no comment this.
All right, fine. If we're being perfectly honest here, I mean,
just in general, just give a percentage.
On a day like today.
Oh, well,
where the NFL's, well, yeah, there's a lot of days like this. Look, I like talking for a living. There are days though where I'm like, good God. Like, what the hell? How am I going to squeeze this sponge today? And I'm a mega talent. I'm a superstar. So it's generally very easy for me to...
You're the Tracy McGrady of this.
Yeah, like I could do it, but could I do something else? I don't know. I could have been a safety in the NFL. Right? Sean's laughing. That's mean. That hurt my heart. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. What kind of talk would you prefer for me? NFL schedule talk or some of the other usual suspects before we hit the road? And on top of that, like, I guess if you have a thought on the Texans schedule, please don't call. Don't do it. I'm telling you not to. Sean's laughing. No one's going to call if I say please don't call. Don't call. Thank you. Paul Gallant Show.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show with Paul Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring Paul Gallant alongside special guest Paul Gallant. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Big news in Houston sports just dropped a couple of minutes ago. An announcement from the longest tenured sports television anchor in town. Mark Berman of Fox 26 tweeted this out. Some personal news to share. June 12th will be my last night on Fox 26 News at 9. I'm retiring after 37 years on the job, 43 in Houston. Growing up in my hometown of Hempstead, I dreamed of becoming a sportscaster on television in Houston. Fox 26 helped me make that dream become a reality. Working for Fox 26, yada, yada, yada. What a privilege it's been to cover sports in the great city of Houston and to work at Fox 26, a great Houston television station. Can confirm. They have me on a lot. Man, that is something else. And I think more than anyone in town, no one hustled more than Mark Berman. There have been times where I know that Mark Berman was physically at multiple sporting events over the course of the same night, getting in, getting out, getting video, getting sound, getting interviews. How many times have you seen Mark Berman do an interview at Bush Intercontinental at baggage claim? How many times have you seen him find somebody right after they got off a plane? How many times have you seen Mark Berman just break a sports story? Now that McClain's over at Gallery Sports, John McClain, and on top of that, you got Mark Berman exiting the game. There's a serious vacuum when it comes to breaking sports news. And on a personal level with Mark, I have always loved Mark a great deal. Because Mark has a very just fun personality about him. If you get him animated, it is very, very entertaining. And I've always gotten along with him because of that. And man, I'm gonna miss seeing him around. But the guy's worked his ass off, and I'm glad that he can finally hang it up. It does feel like one of those jobs. The way he does that job, I have no idea how he still has the energy to do it. I don't. It's been an incredible run. So happy trails to Mark Berman, who's legitimately one of the GOATs when it comes to sports casting in this city. He's going to be missed. And congratulations to him, retiring just a month from today. Damn.
Yeah, absolutely. Hats off to one of the greats. I do kind of wish that he would have, you know, made it throughout the summer so we have audio to play whenever Lance McCullers is ramping back up. I don't know if we would have made it past or made it through last summer without Mark Berman getting, like you said, the hustle never stops that guy, always sticking his phone.
No one works harder in Houston sports media. I don't think it's close.
No.
It's,
and so, yeah, he definitely will be missed.
Damn. Yeah. How the hell are we going to get audio for the Astros at all? Mark Berman's the only guy who posts it.
Tell Chandler to
Chandler,
bust
get
out
your sleeping game together, dude. Oh, I just write for The Athletic. No, you post clips that we won't credit on the air. Come
well,
on.
We'll credit like 25% of the time.
Man. Well, again, that's good for Mark. I like
yeah,
Mark.
Again, congratulations.
Mark Berman could not let this go. I remember one time I told him this. You remember the Texans Letterman jacket game in Foxborough?
Yeah, I remember.
So Berman had seen me on the beat a couple of times, and I think he knew I was from Boston. So we're in Gillette Stadium, and he comes up to me, and he's like, oh, what brought you here? So I pointed to a specific section of the stadium where me and my dad had gone and watched like 100 games at Gillette Stadium growing up, and he starts laughing, like just out of control. He's just like, oh, it used to be up in those stands right there. And I don't know why he found it so amusing, but I remember every single time that I saw him for a while going forward, he would bring up like, oh, your Patriots always winning all the time and stuff like that. And the way that he said it just gave me such a smile. So, man, I'm happy for Mark, though. He really does deserve the retirement. And I think I've stuck on the story a little bit too long, but I'm happy for Mark. And I'm bummed out. Houston sports coverage is going to be worse without Mark Berman, significantly worse. That guy hustles like no one else. Texas schedule's out. Zero primetime games. They are underdogs in all but three games. The lines are already up. They're never more than a 1.5-point favorite in the three games where they actually are favored. So there you go, guys. What else do you want me to say? What else do you want me to say about the schedule?
Give me a record. Give me a record before we go.
5-12.
Is that oh, okay? That adds up to 17. Okay,
5-12.
5-12.
5-12, possibly 7-11. Okay. Excuse me, 7-10. I don't know. I don't know. I don't care. I mean, it's out. So there you go. What a great talk show it's been today. Paul just cares about his job. He loves his job. Sort of like the Phoenix Suns love their jobs. All right, time for a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts No. I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Two quick stories. Tom Cruise shot his shot at newly single Shakira. Cruise is 60 years old. Shakira's 46. All I'm going to say is that's surprising. That is surprising.
What, the ages?
No.
That he shot a shot at Shakira?
Yes.
Why? Why is that surprising?
Emily Ratajkowski has opened up about how she'd be interested in dating a woman if the right one came along.
Is
that's
it Shakira?
Fun. It should be Shakira.
Did Tom Cruise lose Shakira to Emily Ratajkowski?
I'm not 100% sure, but Ratajkowski said she would love to start dating women in a new interview with a magazine. Do you, Emily? Do whatever you got to do. Mark Jackson is my least favorite sports analyst. Every single time I hear him talk, I lose my mind because his accent is incredibly annoying, and I also think he has zero personality, and it's kind of funny that he was the coach of the Warriors before they fired him and replaced him with Steve Kerr to become the greatest basketball dynasty we have seen this century.
Did he also shoot a shot at Shakira?
He did not.
Oh.
I'm not sure that Mark Jackson's about that kind of life. But Mark Jackson is the only person that did not have Nikola Jokic in his MVP ballot. He apologized for it on the radio with, I believe, Justin Termine.
Mistake. And one thing I live by, you make a mistake, you own it. I'm not a guy that does it for clicks or be trending. Absolute mistake made by me. You can tell I probably am thinking, how did I make the mistake? You can tell I put one center, two forwards, and two guards, so I wasn't even thinking. I apologize to the Denver Nuggets. I apologize to Nikola Jokic, who is not only in the MVP discussion and deserved to be on my ballot, but he's one of the greatest players in the history of this game, and he's a top 10 center of all time. I own it. If you want to take away my vote or do whatever, more than welcome. I made a mistake. He deserves, in my opinion, to be clearly. I would have still voted for Joel Embiid, the MVP, but with Giannis and Joker second and third, they deserve that. Incredible year by him. He continues to make history. I own the mistake, and I apologize.
Good apology. Do you believe him? I got to say, there's a seed of doubt that is in my mind after the Kendrick Perkins versus J.J. Redick race war over Joel Embiid versus Nikola Jokic. There is a shred of doubt in my mind. I thought this was the All-NBA Award. Really? Do you buy that, Sean?
Yeah, I buy it. I also, Mark Jackson's just general bumblingness leads me to believe that, yeah, he can 100% make that mistake. It's Mark Jackson. I don't think this is some 4D game of racial chess that he's playing. I think it just, oh, oops.
Hand up, ballot effed up.
Yeah, take my vote, mama. Take my vote away.
God. Why is he still on it? Like, it would be fine with
just because he can't get an NBA coaching job. That's why. That's why he's still on it.
I
should root for him to get a coaching job.
Multiple people were pushing for the Rockets to hire him. And I'm like, are you effing kidding? You want this guy here? Oh, man.
No. Hire him. Then after you hit a wall, then you hire Steve Kerr. And then you're the greatest dynasty of all time. Boom.
I guess.
There you go.
All right.
He's the guy to get you to the guy.
Well, that's going to wrap up everything on this Paul Gallant show. And look, the Texans released their schedule and the Astros are too scared to play games on a Thursday. What can we say? Hopefully Jose Altuve doesn't overtrain himself and Sugarland, his rehab assignment starts tonight. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, our callers, our texters, and our Twitchers who enabled us talking about the Houston Texans schedule for the entirety of this show. You could argue this show was your fault. Coming up next is the Killer Bees. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful weekend. See ya!